Hare Krishna. Yesterday was our first seminar day here in Croatia. I'm using Croatia because Brač, I think that's the name of the island that we're on. And surrounded by very, very beautiful, pristine, crystal clear, green water that we also had the opportunity to swim in yesterday. Very, very nice. And we're doing a seminar on the 28 gurus that are described in Srimad Bhagavatam by Lord Krishna to Uddhava. And it's a very relevant part of Bhagavatam. Of course, every part of the Bhagavatam is relevant, but it talks about becoming more aware of the environment that we live in, and rather than taking from our environment, learning how to learn from it, becoming the student of our environment. And so these 28 gurus are systematically teaching different lessons. Or another way that was also put by Lord Krishna is that by use of one's intelligence, one then can take lessons from either circumstances or other animate or inanimate objects that are not directly instructing us. In other words, these are indirect teachings, indirect lessons. And it's extremely relevant and extremely valuable, especially in today's me generation and consumer-based society. Teachings that make us reflect a little as to who and what is actually the center point of things, and how much we have right to the creation of the Lord. So there are actually 24 gurus which are named, but there's 28 which are given. And that's because some of these gurus have two features or are elaborated on further. For instance, the first guru is the earth, but along with the earth, then Lord Dattatreya, who is the guru, the teacher being cited here, who's giving the examples to Maharaj Yadu. He lists the earth, and then he adds to that trees and mountains. So that's an additional two. And then when we learn from the air, then there's two kinds of air. There's the external air or wind that blows in the world around us, and there's the pranavayu or the air within the body. So that makes another one. That makes 27. And the last one is the bee, because there are two types of bees. There's the honeybee and the bumblebee, and they have very different approaches to life. So these are the 24 or 28 gurus, as you want to name them, number them. And the earth, of course, teaches us tolerance. The earth is rotating in its orbit, so many people, 7 billion people living on this planet, not really conscious that the Earth is a living entity, that the Earth itself has rights, and that there's a limit as to what they should be doing to the Earth, but in their own very myopic way, human beings are taking from the Earth, and the Earth continues to give, without exception, everything that we have and everything that we need, we're getting from this planet. And despite the fact that we create, many mines, we drill for oil, we cut down trees, build roads and do different things to the planet. She doesn't withhold any of her bounty, but rather allows us to continue to take. So this concept of being tolerant, seeing that others may have a different perspective on life than we do, and you may not be able to change that, so you tolerate the way other living entities conduct themselves, realizing that they have their own perspective and that they are ultimately being driven by providence, by the Supreme Lord's potency. And so this concept of continuing to do one's duty, even though one is not fairly dealt with, is a very interesting idea. In the world today, people, as soon as people feel that they're being unjustly treated, immediately they want to go on strike, they want to stop their work. But here's another approach, and this approach is no, you continue to do your duty regardless of what type of injustices may be done to you. And the mountains and the trees, they have their individual contribution, but together they teach us how to live for the benefit of others. In other words, they're also givers, they're very tolerant, and they dedicate their lives for the welfare of other living entities, which, as I mentioned earlier, is quite a different approach to today's me society and me generation, where we consider ourselves to be the most important thing, the focus, and everything should be about how we can get rich, get happy, get benefit out of other things, other people, and then it goes on like that. And that then becomes the real parampara, because that is how people become educated. Not what it means to be a consumer. So valuable lessons to be learned from the Earth. And the Earth is, of course, also the medium by which we smell. Without Earth, there can be no potency of smelling. And that's been described in several places earlier on in Srimad Bhagavatam. Next comes the air. As I mentioned, there are two different types of air. So there's the pranavayu, there's the five grosser and the other five subtle airs within the body. These subtle airs, this prana, regardless of how the owner of the body behaves or functions, it is satisfied with just maintenance or maintaining. In other words, the air, the bodily airs, keep us alive. Lesson here to be learned is that we should be satisfied with maintaining our existence and shouldn't get excessively entangled in that. The pranavayu's main function is to keep the body, and not just the body, but it also controls the mental, vocal, other types of faculties, to keep them alive and to keep them functioning. But it doesn't take more, it doesn't do more. Of course, it has its optimum way, and if someone is sick or something like that, then they don't function as well, or they fall out of balance. But aside from that, it's however someone lives, the bodily airs function to keep a person alive. And similarly, we should learn from that pranavayu how to keep ourselves. But all we need to do is maintain ourselves. That should be our priority, and not live a ostentatious life. Then there's the external wind, and that external wind is a very interesting thing. Many examples can be given, but for the sake of brevity, the wind blows over all different places, and sometimes it will blow over a rose garden and carry the scent of roses. Sometimes it may blow over a garbage dump and bring obnoxious smells. But the air itself neither becomes entangled with those objects, roses or garbage, and also doesn't become entangled with the air or the scent. It remains always very pure. We're moving in this world, and we tend to immediately become attached to things as soon as we come in contact with them. But we shouldn't do that. We should use things for their particular purpose. What is the purpose for which we come in contact with something? If there is a purpose, then we should utilize that without becoming attached, without becoming contaminated by those things. And if there's no purpose, then we should just leave it. So from the wind, we see in the same way the wind will blow clouds around, it will bring storms, it will bring sunny skies, but in either case, it always remains aloof. And whether the sky is sunny or whether the sky is stormy is indifferent to the wind. Similarly, we also find ourselves in different situations in life. Sometimes they're sunny, sometimes they're stormy. We should just accept that this is the movement again of material nature, and we just have to remain unattached, or not excessively involved. Of course, we may be connected with these things, but we shouldn't become overwhelmed by them in any way. And that's true, earth and air, and then after that follows the ether. And of course, ether is that thing which contains everything, and very similar to the air, yet at the same time it doesn't become mixed with anything. Here, we can understand that the ether is just like the soul, and just like the super soul, that although it is present within all species of life, it's present everywhere, and present within each individual body, at the same time, it remains pure and unaffected. And it should be very clear that when we're talking about conditioned living entity, that the soul remains unaffected. It is the mind that becomes contaminated, and the attachment and contamination of material existence takes place within the mind. The soul, like the ether, always remains pure and doesn't mix with matter, because it's a completely different substance than matter. The problem is that it identifies with matter via the medium of the mind. So many wonderful lessons to be learned, and we'll try to continue on with these tomorrow. And now we're headed off for a japa walk, and then a non-japa swim, and then another japa walk back. And after that, lunch, as yesterday was Ekadasi, so we fasted for that. And Hare Krishna.